Amen. Good morning.
Thank you, Rocky. Preach the word. Amen. When I was in the military, there are several here who had military service and who are actively having military service. I think of the guys overseas. There is an ownership of your schedule that was absolute. And it was often referred to as your place of duty. 6:00, 6 o'clock in the morning, your place of duty was to be standing in formation wherever the morning formation was. If you wanted to have breakfast that morning at 6 o'clock, that wasn't an option. If you wanted to sleep in late, that wasn't an option. If you wanted to get off early that afternoon, that wasn't an option. Your last formation was whatever time you were told your last formation was. There were, of course, exceptions and times you could get a little of this or a little of that. If you had weekend duty, you came up on the duty roster, right, guys? And the roster had you serving whatever 24-hour period you served. And when the country needed you, you went. Your place of duty was where the military told you to be and when they told you. The freedom we have as citizens was longed for. I mean, you know, the Jody calls, the Cadence calls were constantly, you know, reminding guys of what it was like when you were outside and the freedom that the guys back on the block had. And boy, you wish you had some of that. You could sleep in when you wanted to. And you know what? You know, you could go rack out if you were tired, or if you wanted to do something on Saturday, you went and did it, rather than the first sergeant owning your day and your week and your schedule. I say all that to say that you all have a place of duty. We, as you can call yourselves soldiers for the Lord if you want, we have a place of duty this coming weekend. We are hosting the state of Alaska in the lectureship, and we've got flyers to pass out. I think CB, you've got them, or they're up here somewhere. We'll pass them out at the end during our announcements. But we have flyers that we want everybody here to have and to tell people about. That this coming weekend, our place of duty is in participating in, supporting, joining in the Alaska State Lectureship. The theme this year, life-changing faith. We, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. That's the framework for our lessons next week. Romans 5 verses 1 through 5. Faith turned the key that caused the cascade of all the rest of the blessings in those verses. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Read it this week. Look at it this week. We're going to start today by focusing on it. Our Bible studies next weekend will be covering that. Our songs will be singing about that. Our fellowship will be building that. For youth, for children, for adults, we've got classes to grow faith. Faith that changes lives. It'll change your life, and it'll change the life of those you touch. It's an awesome thing to be able to touch somebody else's life and see it blossom into something new and different and good. We start Friday evening, but we've started a long time ago. It was exciting last night. We were sitting around the Neeson's living room. Your committee, your lectureship committee, Robert Bolas has been heading it up, and we're sitting around the Neeson's living room. laughing and lightheartedly discussing all the things coming up, because almost everything's been taken care of is not exactly the right word, but everything is on track. It's all working. But there's plenty of work to do. We have things for you to do. First of all, is set aside the weekend. Put your heart and your effort into this body, this congregational family, hosting the state of Alaska, and see that as your mission of the weekend. But we have other needs, and most of you have stepped up actively into those. One, we need you to register. If you haven't gone online to register, try to do that today so we know for a fact who's coming. Go onto the website. You can even do it here if you wanted to. But go onto the website and register you and your family so we are more accurate about who's coming. Second is, we still could use some help for housing. If you're one of the wonderful blessings of this coming weekend is being able to be with other brothers and sisters, other Christians from across the state that you don't know yet. So open up your home. And if you haven't done that, see Bonnie Merle for a housing registration sheet or a housing sheet, and so that she can place a family in your home. Second is, from Wednesday night on, look up and open your eyes. Wednesday night we're going to have visitors here because people are going to be starting for the Thursday morning classes. And then throughout the weekend, you're the hosts. This is your home. We're all going to be in Colony High School. It starts Friday evening about 5 o'clock at Colony High School with dinner. Excuse me. And you're the host. So when you get there, welcome people. Look up. If you see a face you don't know, say hi. How you doing? Most folks will have name tags on, and you'll be able to tell what part of Alaska they're from. But be that host and think as a host and welcome people as a host. And if you've got a couple of minutes, find somebody else to talk to, or find somebody else who might need some help. It's a mindset. And we will start having arrivals here as early as Wednesday. Finally, there's set up and tear down. There's a lot of things going on, whether it's housing or putting chairs up or moving things around. And we could use help. If nobody's asked you to do anything else, come about 2:30 Friday afternoon to Colony High School, and there'll be work to do. Tables to set up, chairs to move around, the gymnasium to get ready. You come on over with a smile on your face and a bounce in your step and two willing hands, or how many you got. What can I do? Here you go. There's work to be done. If you're not able to do that and want to do something else, there's food preparation going to be done this week by Bonnie Burkhardsmeyer and others, and more registration help. And the caucuses are going to be getting all of our printing together, and they need some people who can match up holes and put three-ring binders with stacks of papers. And there's that kind of help to be done. One more big thing, and I mentioned Thursday quickly. We have a man named Howard Norton. He's a professor, a Bible professor with Harding University, and a assistant dean there at Harding University. He's been an elder with the church, a foreign missionary, a preacher, and he'll be teaching a leadership conference or a leadership seminar right here in this room Thursday and Friday. And if work and other things don't have you pulled away, join us in that. That'll be a good time of growth. Breakfast starts at 8:30, but his first lesson starts at 10 o'clock here on Thursday. So come Thursday and Friday. We're even going to have dinner together with him right here. And he'll have a lesson during our dinner starting at 6 that evening. So if you had to work during the day, you could come join us that evening for dinner. We have a lot of things going on, and his leadership conference will go through noon on Friday. This is an exciting weekend, but the point of the weekend is to grow to the glory of God. All of the mechanics and all of the things are going to work okay, and we need help and we need willing hands, and there'll be growth in that. But mostly, we want to grow in faith and grow in unity and grow in love. In faith, by looking at the Word and listening to the lessons and humbly applying it to our lives. In love, by binding together even more unified and more effectively as a congregation, and by looking at the faces we don't know, at the relationships we don't have yet across the state of Alaska, and loving them too. And in character, by letting all of that really, really change, so that the faith that changes lives can be known to every one of us by what it does to us and what it does through us to change others. This weekend, this coming week, ought to be a time of vibrant living and growing for this congregation. We're hosting, but we're going to get most of the benefit as people come in and encourage us and encourage us and encourage us. So let's reflect that and encourage back. I'm not bringing the lesson today. That was just talking. That was just
for free.
I was free. We got living to do. But my dear brother, your brother, Bill, is going to be giving us this morning's lesson. And I'm excited for what you all are doing and have done and what we'll do and God will do through you. Brother, preach the word.
Amen. We are such a blessed people, are we not? Life-changing faith. That is our mission to grow in this weekend. That is what we are challenging the church in Alaska to be a part of. Oh, thank you, TJ. If y'all did not know, TJ, every Sunday, either me or Robert always get a cup of water because of TJ. He is such a great servant. And I appreciate you. I come before you today to look at Romans 5, 1 through 5, actually 1 through 11. I want to look at that today so that we can understand a little about what we're going to be talking about this weekend. If we are to have faith that changes our lives, then we need to know where it comes from. And the book of Romans is one of the most, I don't know, it's one of the most deep books. It's a theological discussion. And Paul goes into really deep theology in this book. And it's a hard book to comprehend. It's a hard book to get through. It's one of the ones that, I mean, Paul doesn't write like John in these. He's not very clear on a lot of things. And whenever Peter says over in 1 Peter that Paul has written a lot of things that are hard to understand, well, he must have read through the book of Romans because it's a difficult book. But there are some really great things in Romans. And in background, I just want to look at what the book of Romans is about. And then we'll get to Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 1, Paul begins and he talks about, he gives one of his usual greetings to the brethren that are in Rome. And as he gets down to verse 16 and 17, he gives us the thesis statement of what the book of Romans is all about, what he's going to be discussing in the rest of the 12 chapters, 15 chapters, excuse me, the rest of the 15 chapters of Romans. And it says in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the gospel," that's the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the good news that we are celebrating today. "In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'But the righteous man shall live by faith.'" Paul tells us that this gospel, that is our salvation, it shows the righteousness of God. It doesn't just show the power that God has over death. It doesn't show the power that God has over life. It shows His righteousness. Because, well, and he goes on to explain that. In the end of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2, he describes the Gentiles and their state in relation to God, their relationship with God. In verse 28, he summarizes it by saying, "And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper." Skip down to verse 32. "And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them." Paul says that the Gentiles have changed the worship of God into worship of created things. And he says that since they would not give acknowledgement to God any longer, he gave them over to a depraved mind. He let them be who they chose to be. He let them be apart from him. And he says, even though they knew, the Gentiles knew the laws of God that he wrote in their hearts, they not only didn't practice those things that were good, but they applauded people who were doing bad. Then he goes into chapter 2 and talks about the Jews. The Jews were God's chosen people, that he gave them the law. He gave them a law so that they could clearly see what he wanted for them to do. But they turned aside also. So not only did the Gentiles turn away from God, but the Jews turned away from the law also. And in chapter 3, verse 9, it says, talking about Jews, are the Jews better than the Greeks? That's what Paul poses the question. And he says, "Not at all, for we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin." Go down to verse 21. "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God," that's what we were talking about, the power of God to salvation, "the righteousness of God has been revealed. Apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." In the first three chapters, Paul shows that we are all fallen. We have all been given the chance to do what's right, and all of us failed. That's the bad news. The bad news is we are all fallen. We are all corrupt. We've all been given over to a depraved mind because that's what we chose. But then in chapter 4, Paul starts talking about Abraham, the father of the Jews, this man who is accounted righteous. God gave him a promise, gave him a few promises. And Abraham, who had faith in God, acted according to those promises. God gave him a promise, if you do these things, then this will happen. And Abraham did what God wanted him to do. And down in verse 20 of chapter 4, "Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver," Abraham did not waver in unbelief, "but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness." His faith that God will keep his promise, that God will keep his promises, his faith that God will never lie to him, this faith of doing what God chose for him to do, because Abraham had that kind of faith, he was accounted righteous. And now, The end of chapter 4 says, "Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it would be credited as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead." The whole story of Abraham, the whole Old Testament, is not just written so that we would know who these people are. The story of Abraham wasn't recorded just so we'd know who Abraham is, but we could see by his faith that he was accounted righteous, and that if we do the same things, we can be counted righteous also. That when we have faith in God, that he will count us righteous just as he did Abraham. And then Paul says, therefore, since we've fallen, but we have the opportunity to be saved again, since we have the opportunity to be counted righteous, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We were separated from God. We were at war whenever we went away from His, whenever we went away from His will. When we chose to do wrong, we were separated and we were at war with God. But now, we can be justified by our faith and have peace with God. When we have faith in God, we can be justified and have peace with God. We no longer have to be at war with Him. We can obey Him and let Him rule our lives. Because, let me tell you, as you read on through Romans, you find out that God's sovereign. God is in control of everything. And it doesn't matter whether you want to obey Him or you don't want to obey Him. He's going to use you. He's going to use you in this life. And are you going to be used for righteousness? Or are you going to be used for destruction? But we have peace through God. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. So we have peace with God through Jesus, through His sacrifice, through what He did for us. And because of this, we have an introduction. We've been introduced into a grace that we can stand in. We don't have to be questioning ourselves all the time, wondering, you know, oops, I slipped and fell. Am I outside or am I inside now? God doesn't give us a list of things that we always have to go by and we have to have everything right. Or else, oh, you missed your little checklist, so you're outside now. God's grace covers the things that we do wrong whenever we strive to obey Him. And Jesus gave us that access to that grace. He gave us that. We've been introduced into that grace, and now we can stand boldly and proudly and confident that we can be children of God. And we exult in the hope of the glory of God. Continuing on in verse 2. We have obtained the introduction by faith into this grace into which we stand, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. Moses once asked God, "Show me your glory. Show me your glory, your unveiled glory." And God gave him all that he could stand. He gave him all he could handle. He told Moses, he said, "If I were to show you my full face, you would die. But I'll show you what I can show you." And we have the access to that glory. We can exult. I didn't really know exactly what that word meant, so I had to go look it up. And all it means is rejoice. We can rejoice in the glory of God. We don't have to be afraid of it. We can stand in God's grace and rejoice in the glory that He has for us. And it says, not only do we exult in God's glory, but we also exult in tribulations, knowing that tribulations brings about perseverance. So hard times in our life, the hard times that we go through, that God puts us in, gives us perseverance. If you choose to stick with God, no matter what, you're going to have hard times. And whenever you do, if you maintain and you stay with Him, you're going to have perseverance. You're going to be able to stick to it. So our tribulations brings perseverance. And perseverance brings proven character. If you ever see someone who, no matter what, they are always there. If they promise, it doesn't matter what bad things are going on, they're always there. I remember we had this one guy that I went to high school with. He did not miss one day of school. Not from kindergarten to 12th grade. Did not miss one day. Sick, not sick, it didn't matter. He was always there. And you know what that shows us about him? That he has a character, that he's going to be there. Now, he may not have done everything that he was supposed to do in school, but he was always there. So you could always depend on him to be there. He had proven character. No matter what happened in his life, he did what he said he would do by going to school, and that showed you something about his character. It gave him a good character in that aspect of his life. So tribulations gives us an opportunity to show our perseverance to God, and our perseverance to God will show Him that we are willing to be people of character. And then he says, and proven character brings hope. And I want to tell you, I didn't exactly know where Paul was going with that. How in the world do you get hope from proven character? And I sort of struggled that for a little bit. And I had a conversation last night with someone who really helped me out a lot on this subject. Our hope, if we look at Hebrews 11, our hope is the first part of our faith. It's the first part of our faith. We have to look towards something and hope that it's there. Something that we haven't seen, but we hope that it's there. We have this hope, and then we're going to act accordingly to whatever we see. And as we have a thought in our mind, as we have this faith in God, okay, we have a faith in God, and because of it, we are going to have hard times that are going to test us. And whenever we're tested, we can prove ourselves right. And whenever we prove ourselves, guess what? That'll grow our faith. That'll bring us closer to our hope. And our hope does not disappoint. The hope that we have in Christ Jesus as our Savior does not disappoint, because the love of the Father has been poured out into us by the Holy Spirit. And I want to continue on for just a moment. For while we were still helpless, while we were outside of Christ, we were in that state that we talked about in chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. While we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's you and me. Christ died for us. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. You know, we in our lives, if we see someone who's doing something right, we might put our lives on the line for them. If we see someone who does good things towards us, and they're a real close friend of ours, we would be more willing to put our lives on the line for them. But God demonstrates His own love to us while we were yet sinners, while we were lost, while we were useless, while we were at war with God. Christ died for us. That's the same love That is the exact same love that the Holy Spirit pours into our hearts. Much more than, verse 9, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but we exult, that's rejoicing again, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. There's three rejoicings in there. We rejoice in the hope that we have. We rejoice in the bad times we go through. And above and beyond everything, we rejoice in God who put us where we could not go. Now today, you have a choice. You have a choice. This is a challenge for your faith. This week, you have a challenge to your faith. You want to grow in it. You want to grow deeper. You want to have more of God's love filling in your heart, filling in your life. Well, today, Robert, CB, we challenge you to be more faithful. We challenge me to be more faithful. I challenge Robert to be more faithful. I challenge CB to be more faithful. Every single person in here, we can have a greater faith. We can have a deeper love. We can have God dwelling in us. Richly. Today we have a choice. We have life and we have death. And in Deuteronomy, I have to throw in something from the Old Testament just for Caleb. There you go. And in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 30, Moses says this in verse 19. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, and by holding fast to Him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Moses said, God gave you a promise. And you can live by faith, and you can choose to live, or you can choose to die. And today you have that same exact choice for you. You can choose to live, or you can choose to die. Every single one of us has to make that choice for ourselves in our life. And as Jay brought before the Lord's Supper, we can choose to die to this old self of sin and continuing on in life by submitting ourselves to baptism and joining in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, then today you can show your faith. You can have the love of God poured out in you. Or if you have any other need other than that, please come.